The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hey, welcome to the show, everyone. Why are so many people sailing at half-mast these days, and how many of these people have been living this way for so long they don't even remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore? You know, too many individuals suffer from a condition of acceptance. They're guilty of accepting their less-than-healthy status as the way it is. Unfortunately, they don't know any other way to be. Well, not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and this is the platform that helps change lives one body at a time. Today's show is all about helping you live longer, but more importantly, helping you live better. I mean, what good is longevity without health? In order to achieve great health, we need to incorporate a routine of good nutrition, regular exercise, stress reduction, and healthy sex, believe it or not. And what would a healthy monogamous sex life be without the emotion of love and passion? You see, our ability to love with extreme passion is, to a large extent, subject to the way we feel from day to day. And science dictates that we can greatly enhance the way we feel by the way we move, by what we choose to consume on a daily basis, and also when we choose to consume it. Many sex researchers believe that the emotion of love, or falling in love, is nothing more than nature's way of maintaining the human species through reproduction. Regardless of why we feel love, love is, always has been, and always will be the force that drives us as human beings. Think about it. Everything we do in life is for one specific reason: to experience pleasure. It doesn't matter what you are trying to accomplish, pleasure is always the end goal. So whether you want to have children, whether you want to get married, getting a better education, getting a promotion, whatever it is, pleasure is the ultimate objective. Whether comes with what you have pleasure or not, it doesn't matter. That's why you are engaging in whatever you're engaging from day to day. And when one thinks of pleasure, well, one thinks of sex. It turns out that a healthy sex life may be just as important as a healthy diet or a healthy exercise program or even a healthy mindset. So today on Transforming Health, how sex can impact your health profile for the better. My guest today started her career in the medical field over 20 years ago. Not only does she have a degree in health sciences and clinical research administration from the prestigious George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences, she is also the author of several books, including Executive Medicine, Optimizing Your Chances for a Longer Life. And her latest book, which we're discussing today, she is the co-author of Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health. Please welcome Judy Gammon to the show. Judy, welcome to the show.
Oh, Brad, thanks for having me. I'm so thrilled that you're going over this topic because it's so important to health and wellness.
Well, you know, it oddly enough, it's one of the topics we really haven't covered on Transforming Health. And, you know, longevity medicine is one of my passions. I wrote a book a few years ago called BioAge, 10 Steps to a Younger You, with a very good friend of mine, Dr. Michael Schmidt from NASA. He's a neuroscientist. And, you know, we wanted to discuss the biological aspects of aging as opposed to how we age just chronologically. Because let's face it, the majority of people after that certain age, whatever that age is, let's say 30, we look around us, we don't like what we see because the average person of that age, chronologically speaking, doesn't look that great, doesn't feel very great, is complaining about aches and pains, certainly isn't performing at their higher level. So, we start to get very guarded about our age, and it really doesn't have to be that way. And I wanted to start off the show, before we get into the importance of sex, and I know that's what we really want to talk about today, but, what makes this book, the Stay Young, the 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health, what makes it different from all the other so-called anti-aging or the healthy longevity books that are on the market right now?
Well, I think in a nutshell, this particular book is more of a health journal. We not only go in and say, these are the 10 steps, and these are things that you need to do, we have reflective questions at the end of each chapter where people can actually journal in their answers and really be able to find out where they are, not just preaching to someone, you need to do this, you need to do that. It's really an interactive book where people can, write their answers down and reflect on that. And then at the end of the book, there's actually a 6-month follow-up where they can go in and see what they've done to improve. What have they done that they've learned from the book, that they've changed their lives, and is it working for them?
So like a workbook, in a sense.
It is. It's much like a workbook, but it's not intimidating. It's written very much to the layperson.
Right.
It gives great scientific backup to each one of the steps, and it really helps you when, you're trying to make choices in your life, and you're trying to do things better. If you can back up those decisions by, I not only need to do it, I need to do it because Harvard says I need to do it, or Yale did this study, or, all these great places that have done this wonderful research for us.
Right.
To help us to live longer. It's so much better if you have that in the back of your head, not just because someone told me to do it, but because there's proven evidence that I need to do these things.
So Judy, when I opened up and I was talking about chronological age, linear age, how old we are right now, what our birth certificate says, the science is conclusive now that we don't really age chronologically. We age more on a biological level, a cellular level. And does your book, does it talk about this? Does it talk about the importance of being able to kind of turn back the clock on a cellular level?
Well, exactly. And it does. It doesn't go into a lot of scientific research on that particular, but it does say that, you can be 70 and feel like you're 40 or 50. And you don't have to, as you speak, about chronologically, you don't have to feel 70 because you're 70. You don't have to feel 50 because you are 50. And so many people need to wrap their brains around that. And instead of talking themselves up and making themselves older, actually be able to tap into that inner youth and enjoy their life.
Right. Right. Well, isn't that a very big part of how we age on that most fundamental level of all, is how we're feeling from day to day, really our mindset?
Oh, definitely. It's not just the mindset. It's, getting in there and even exercising, because your body is telling itself, hey, I can do these things. You do stretching exercises and your body remains limber. You don't have to have all these aches and pains, but you do have to stay on top of things. You have to be proactive. You have to be preventative. You're in charge of you, and you can't just let yourself go and then later go and tell your doctor what happened.
Right. You have to be proactive as opposed to how the majority of people are, unfortunately, which is reactive.
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
So, Judy, what would you say then, if you could sum up, and I know there's so many aspects of why we age prematurely, and, you may disagree with me. I certainly think we're in a bad state of affairs, so to speak, when you look at us North Americans, where we are not aging the proper way. We are aging prematurely, before our time. And if you could sum it up in, one or two things that people are doing wrong that are causing them to age before their time, so to speak, what would you say those one or two things would be?
Well, number one, I would say that people are not taking the time to live their life. They're spending so much time around making a living that they forget to live their life. And, you know, that includes relaxing. That includes having some fun. That includes interpersonal relationships, you know, days at the spa, downtime when you're really not thinking about anything. In today's society, we have our cell phones and we have the internet and we're always on. And just like computers, we need to be shut off for a while.
Sure.
And decompress before we can turn back on. And I think that's number one, hands down. That.
So having fun.
Oh, yeah. Having fun's very important.
You know, Oscar Wilde once said, the greatest gift of all is to live, because most people exist, that is all. And that's basically what you're saying. You know, when we're children, nobody teaches us how to play.
That's
nobody
right.
teaches us how to have fun. It's intrinsic. It's just something we know how to do. It's part of the program from birth. And then somewhere along the line, we lose that. We become adults. We become very serious. And, you know, we've got children to look after and bills to pay. And I think the greatest lesson that we can, in turn, teach our children is that what you said, you always have to make time for being silly and having fun.
Oh, definitely. You know, there's science behind it. That's not just us sitting here saying, oh, everyone should do it. And there was a great study. They took 12,000 men. They were ages 35 to 57. They looked into their habits as far as vacationing. And for those that vacationed at least once a year, their death rate was they lived longer, and their death rate was much lower. They lived 20% longer than those that didn't vacation. I mean, this is huge.
That is huge. And you know, there's a whole new area, and I've discussed this on the show with a few stress physiology researchers, and there's this whole new psychological aspect of where people are so stressed out from day to day that even when they go on vacation, there's this group of individuals, 10, 20% of the population, that actually stress out more when they're on vacation because they're constantly worrying about the amount of work that they're going to have when they actually get back from vacation.
Oh, I believe it. And, you know, sometimes those exact people are still keeping their iPhones on or their BlackBerries, and they're keeping in touch. They don't understand the importance of cutting themselves off.
Sure.
And then go back to it. But if you're constantly in touch, or you're still thinking about it, as you pointed out, Brad, thinking about, I have to go back to this, and this is what I have to do, and you're not away. That's not a vacation. And, you know, maybe a lot of society or jobs these days, the fear that they're going to lose their job, people want to make sure they're on top of things. They don't want to miss anything. And really what they're doing is hurting themselves, because
sure.
that high stress level and that inability to relax actually makes them forget more.
And you know, one of the major topics, and we're going to be talking about this when we get back from the break, we're going to be talking about the importance of a healthy sex life. And, you know, I mean, we have to talk about this right now because we're on the subject of stress, because, you know, the research does show over and over again that when we are chronically exposed to stress, and we're the ones responsible for that, of course,
yes.
because it's our perception of our surroundings, but wouldn't you say that stress is one of the killers of a healthy sex life?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And a lot of it is so unnecessary. We worry about things that don't matter. You know, we really should write those things down and forget about them. 3 days from that date, you're still worried about it. Then it's something to worry about. Because it seems like all of the time people are so stressed out about something, it just works itself out.
Right.
And it's unnecessary. We see people come home from work and they can't get in the mood because, you know, work is still on their brain.
Right.
And then they're thinking about all the things they have to do and all the things that could go wrong. And pretty soon they work themselves up so much that they can't relax, and they can't have sex, and they can't do all the things that they really want to do because they're wrapped up in all these things that really don't matter.
Right, and I mean, the majority of these things obviously don't even occur. They're all in our heads, and I think Mark Twain said it best when he said, I have been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened.
Exactly.
I'm going to go out on that note. We have Judy Gammon, health researcher, with us today. Her new book, Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health. Get a piece of paper out, get a pen out. You're going to want to take notes in this next segment. We're going to be talking about the importance of a healthy sex life when it comes to your overall life. We'll be right back with more of Transforming Health after these messages.
fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Mark your calendar and set an alarm so you do not miss the highly acclaimed talk show, Holistic Living with Tina Marie and Todd Allen. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific for inspirational, oftentimes edgy discussions on all that life brings our way with celebrity guests, world-famous authors, and everyday people dedicated to sharing positive, uplifting messages. Tina Marie and Todd Allen bring you the very best in talk radio discussions, guaranteed to make you smile.
Hi, this is Dr. Vijaya Nair. Together with my dear friend Dr. Howard Piper, we are hosting our own show called Kiss Your Life Hello. We are two internationally recognized experts, researchers, authors, and health advocates in holistic medicine and counseling. We promise you a fantastic show with interesting guest experts to educate and entertain you with the latest information on mind, body, and spirit wellness. Join us on Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific and 10 a.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. See you there.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everyone. We're having a great time today talking about, well, what else? Sex. We're talking about the importance, actually, of a healthy sex life. And things like attachment and commitment are really a significant part of healthy sex, or at least they should be. Attachment and commitment are powerful emotions, and they're the type of emotions that drive the bond between individuals. And I just want to mention one specific hormone, because this is really the hormone that's responsible for driving a lot of these emotions. It's called oxytocin. Oxytocin is actually responsible for baby bonding. It's a hormone that releases milk at the mere sight or the sound of a baby, from the mother. And it's what I call the hormone of cuddlement. This hormone is actually released during orgasm, and we will be talking about orgasm a little later in the show. Oxytocin helps to deepen the feelings of attachment and makes couples feel much closer to one another after they've had sex. And evolutionarily speaking, the more sex, well, obviously, the greater the chance of procreation through bonding. Research has shown that if you block the release of this hormone oxytocin in animals, if you do this in sheep and rats, for instance, they will always reject their offspring. That's how important it is. On a side note, when oxytocin is injected in animals that have mated, they will instantly bond with other females young as if it was their own offspring. So not only is today's guest a professional speaker and a published author, she has a unique way of taking her audience on a mental journey and leaving them inspired to share their newfound knowledge with others. She's the author of several books. She's also a guest columnist for the Dallas Morning News. She's a writer and editor of the Executive Summary and a freelance writer for other publications. So please welcome back Judy Gammon to the show. And of course, we're talking about aging, healthy longevity. Her new book is called Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health. And we just happen to be talking about, you know, one of the areas of that book, the study and the research and the importance of a healthy sex life. Judy, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks, Brad.
So a very important part of the book deals with the health-enhancing effects of a regular, healthy sex life. And I wanted you, for the listeners, if you could, just how would you define a healthy sex life to start?
Well, a healthy sex life basically means that you're having sex on a regular basis. And
what does that mean, Judy, regular basis?
2 to 3 times a week.
Okay.
2 to 3 times a week, and that it's better if it's in a monogamous relationship. I know you talked about that when you did the intro there for this segment, but we have research that backs up that the actual chemicals that are released in the brain and all of the things that happen that are beneficial to your health happen on a much higher level if it's with someone you love. If you already have those feelings, and it's not just the act of having sex itself, but the act of, well, making love, as they say.
So love is the emotion that really should be attached to the sex, because it's not always, and that's why I think it's very important to, you know, explain to the listeners how important that really is, because a lot of people may initially start out in love, they have sex, they have a great sex life at the beginning of a relationship, and then later on they just kind of grow apart, but they still have sex, even though they may not be as attracted to that partner anymore. So is there any research that you've pulled up with that type of sex? Is that a lot unhealthier, so to speak, than, you know, regular sex in with love attached to it?
Well, we do know that when love is attached to it, it generally lasts longer. And it lasts longer and the orgasms are stronger. And that's really important. But we also know that when you're in these relationships, of course you're not exposed to some of the things that you would be exposed to if you were in multiple relationships and having sex frequently. We can talk about these things, but as you know, sexually transmitted diseases and things like that.
Right.
When you're having sex and you have that in the back of your brain, you're worried about, gosh, where has this person been? You know, is there a chance I could be picking up something?
So all those other things. Again.
Yeah, when all those other things are in your brain,
yeah,
it's hard for your brain to relax. So if you're within a monogamous relationship and you're in a very loving relationship, the brain is actually more into what you're doing than, you know, what we call, you know, one night stands. And
right. But you hear about, you know, so many couples, as I mentioned, they have a very sexy, very healthy sex life. What's on my brain right now? Very healthy sex life at the beginning of their relationship. And then, you know, you hear about these couples that they're lucky if they have sex maybe once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks. But then also these are the same couples that say when they do have sex, it brings them closer together. So why don't you think that these couples that have been together for a long enough period of time, let's say over a year or over 2 years, why aren't they having more regular sex?
Well, it could be a number of things. They're allowing their work and stress life, which we talked about earlier, to enter into the bedroom. And when you're in a new relationship, you're so excited about that you forget about work. You leave it at the door. But as you become more comfortable and you're, you know, married or you're with someone for a long time, you kind of blend. You blend that work life and home life together. And again, you have things that are entering into the brain that don't need to be going into the brain. I'm sure some of your listeners can relate to this. They're in the middle of making love and they're thinking, oh, did I do this or that in their brain? And they've got to, you know, bring their brain back. So that probably plays into that. But also, you know, we get so busy in our lives that it doesn't seem to be as important, but it really is. It's important to our health and wellness, and I know we're going to go over some of those things.
Yeah. Well, Judy, you know, when we're talking about, you know, obviously sex starting in the brain, because that is where it starts, and women have known this, obviously, since the beginning of time. Men, not so much. We haven't caught on yet. But it starts really with the initiation of these things like sex hormones, and one of those sex hormones is testosterone, which is very important for both men and women to initiate that desire. So in my opinion, and please correct me if I'm wrong or just dive right in with your opinion, I don't think it's so much that we don't want more sex. I think it has a lot to do with whether we're producing adequate amounts of these hormones that initiate that desire, you know, starting in the brain and put us in the mood.
Oh, well, you know, you are right. I'm not going to correct you because you're absolutely correct. The chicken and egg thing here with sex is when you're having more sex, your body produces more hormones to make you want to have more sex. So if you haven't been in the mood, if you can get yourself into the mood and say, I'm going to, you know, be having sex one or two times a week or two or three times a week, that in turn will help you naturally get those hormone levels back. Now, you mentioned testosterone, and one thing I want to just cover briefly is people know, or especially men know, oh, I need to make sure I have high enough levels of testosterone, but there's actually two things they need to know. They don't need to know just what their total testosterone is. They need to know what their free testosterone is,
right,
which is how much is circulating in their body, how much are they able to use. And, you know, with men and with women, we see these hormones change significantly in middle age. You know, anywhere between 30s and 50s especially, we see such fluctuation there. So
sure.
We always encourage both the men and the women to be on top of those hormones and where things are and how they're doing. And, of course, on top of just hormones in general, and I think we may talk about this during the show, there's certain foods they can eat that can help them with libido. There's a lot of different things.
I'm really glad you brought that up about the free testosterone as opposed to the overall testosterone, because, you know, my book Beer Belly Blues talks about this. It talks about how so much of our testosterone is bound to these proteins, and it's unavailable to really exert its reaction upon the cells of the body. And you're probably familiar with life extension, are you not?
Yes, I am.
Well, in life extension, they actually did a study of blood samples, because what they do is they have a, you know, their own pharmacy now, and they take blood samples and they do hormonal profiles, and they took blood samples of close to 8,000 men. This was actually this year, and they found that only 4.2% of those men had healthy or high healthy levels of free biologically active testosterone. So the great majority of these men, this was from all ages, from late 20s to early 70s, these men showed that they had a great decline in these testosterone levels. And obviously, you know, if men aren't producing a lot of this testosterone, number one, they're not going to be in the mood. Number two, they're not going to be able to get a healthy enough erection to be able to have intercourse in the first place. And I think it's very important, and I'm glad your book talks about this, because I think these hormone levels really do have to be tested, because a lot of people with stress or excess stress within their lives, they're really experiencing a decline in these very hormones that allow them to feel great.
Right. And, you know, the hormones not only allow them to feel great and not only allow them to have great sex, but it has to do with memory. It has to do with, you know, fatigue and energy levels. There's so much that all has to do with, and I know we're getting a little off topic, but it's so important that we just want to be sure and mention it.
Sure. Now let's just discuss this before we go to the midway break. And we spoke a little bit about moods, and you know, one of the things that really affects people if they want to have sex is obviously their mood. If they're not in the mood, if they're feeling low, if they suffer from depression, I mean, you know, people are just not going to be in the mood for sex. So you actually uncover some research that perhaps says that sex may in effect be a type of an antidepressant.
Well, it is. And, you know, what happens during sex is the brain reacts to the act of sex and the act of everything that's going on there, and it releases DHEA. And that actually is a mood enhancer, and it's a natural antidepressant. And they have done studies where they've taken people that were in depressive states, in anxiety states, and they've taken some and put them on antidepressants, and taken others and put them on a regular regimen of sex, and undoubtedly, time and time again, the ones that were on a regular regimen of sex actually did better, and their depression levels went down, and they didn't have the side effects of some of these antidepressants.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Well, and one of the most prevalent side effects of a lot of these SSRIs, you know, a big class of these antidepressants, is we have no libido.
That's right.
The libido goes away, and it's kind of ironic, because you're saying, you know, if you want to get rid of depression, in a sense, the science is showing, have more sex. It sounds like sex has a great deal in common with exercise.
Oh, it does. It does, definitely. And some of the same things that happen with exercise, as you know, you enhance your mood. You so much goes on with the body when you exercise. The same thing with sex. But, of course, sex is a form of exercise. We don't want to overlook that, right?
Right. Well, you know what? Let's talk about that when we get back from the break. Can sex help you lose fat? And I'm not just talking about, you know, the caloric or the amount of calories you're burning during sex. I'm just talking about, you know, having sex, having good sex itself, can that initiate some kind of hormonal environment that allows you to use more of your own fat for energy? I'm going to ask Judy that when we get back. You're listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, and we are talking about the health reasons to have more sex today on Transforming Health. We'll be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network. Are you ready to get freed up? Join Dr. Jennifer Fried, one of America's leading psychological thinkers, for a groundbreaking program with fascinating guests and full participation from you. Freed Up will explore topics like liberation in long-term relationships, parenting in the 21st century, comfort in stressful times, and much more. Tune in to Freed Up every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel, and wake up to the heartbeat of your life.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
If you're just joining the show, today we're talking about sex, aging, and your health. And in order to better understand the importance of sex, one needs to become acquainted with a very important brain chemical that's called dopamine. Dopamine is responsible for stimulating the desire and the reward cascade of feelings of extreme pleasure. It's the same effect, believe it or not, as being high on drugs like cocaine. And when you have high enough levels of dopamine, you don't need as much sleep. You experience, obviously, extreme pleasure. But you experience the extreme pleasure in the smallest of things. And here's an extra bonus. You don't have the insatiable cravings, and you have a much lower appetite. So this is very good for people who obviously want to burn more body fat. Let me tell you a little story. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to interview a very famous psychiatrist who's been on PBS many times. His name is Dr. Daniel Amen. And he's performed several thousand brain scans. These are known as SPECT scans. And he's performed these on patients with a range of neurological and behavioral disorders. And in one of his books, he wrote about a close friend who had recently fallen head over heels in love with this new woman. And Dr. Amen already had a normal SPECT scan of his friend's brain on file, and he wanted to see how this new love had affected his brain. So to his amazement, the brain scan looked like a scan of someone who had just ingested cocaine. And Dr. Amen commented that love actually has very real effects on the brain, as powerful as many addictive drugs. Not such a bad thing to be addicted to. Dr. Lori Jackson, who's a clinical psychologist and also an addiction counselor in Denver, Colorado, she relates that during the education process of working with people addicted to cocaine and other drugs, counselors showed that brain scans of people kissing were actually very much the same as the response of people who had just ingested these drugs. So, you know, little intimate things like kissing and holding hands and cuddling, but actually meaning it, that drives a very powerful hormonal cascade in the body and in the brain. So do more of that. Very important stuff. Helping us understand the importance of sex when it comes to healthy aging is a health researcher who started her career in the medical field over 20 years ago. She is the author of several books, including Executive Medicine, Optimizing Your Chances for a Longer Life, and her latest book, which we're discussing today, which she co-authored, is Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health. Please welcome back to the show, Judy Gaiman. Judy, I want to get into one of the things that you talk about in a later chapter in the book is the brain's reaction to orgasm. And I want you to just explain this because it sounds fascinating.
Well, it is fascinating. And, you know, it's different for men and women a little bit. Now, a lot of it's the same, but what happens to men, they actually have something that happens in the brain that is much like them skydiving. And not only is that an important rush for them, but they actually get another feeling of total relaxation. You know, for years we've heard the term, oh, that boy's whooped, or that guy's so in love he can't see straight. But it actually, what happens to men is their guard goes down, and they're able to open up and to relax. You can see a physical and a mental difference in someone who is having regular sex. I mean, this is portrayed in the media or on TV all the time. You know, they make jokes about it on some of these sitcoms. But it's actually true, and there's science
right
behind it. And, you know, for women, it's the same thing, except we're not totally relaxed and want to get some orange juice and chill out the rest of the day. We're full of energy afterwards. You know, what happens to us is we just get just pump. we're so
excited. And you want more sex.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
We want to sleep.
And you got to sleep. And that's a problem. No.
Well, that's what we're trying to help people with today, Judy. So let me ask you this then. If orgasm, the achievement of orgasm is so important to the, let's say, the health effects of the body, do you absolutely have to achieve orgasm to enjoy the health benefits of sex? Because, you know, we hear this all the time. It's not as much a problem, obviously, for men, but you do hear a lot about this with women, that they can't achieve orgasm.
Well, it's always best if they do. If they want to get some of the benefits such as immunity and other things, and sex is a painkiller and sex is an antidepressant, all of that, they do. But, you know, if they want to just get the benefits, say, of burning calories, they don't necessarily have to orgasm for that. If you actually are having sex three times a week, it's the same as walking 75 miles in a year's time. And that's, you know, the total of 7,500 calories burned. So that doesn't necessarily depend on the orgasm. But for some of the other studies they've done, yeah, it does. It does require those things to happen. Like what we talked about, what happens in the brain during orgasm, that is very much important to the sex as an antidepressant.
So you're saying the studies support the fact that if we have sex three times a week, we should be able to utilize enough calories to burn at least 2 pounds of extra fat every single year.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, what are we doing? We're putting on more body fat every single year. What about, you know, have you looked at any of the research of, you know, aside from the fact of the act of sex and sweating and burning calories, having sex, what about, you know, the hormones that are produced and the neurochemicals that are produced? Can that help you burn more body fat?
Well, it can, because we do know that when your hormone levels are higher, then you're in better shape. Or when they go down, you're more likely to gain weight, be exhausted, all of those things that go along with it. And as we talked about earlier, when you're having sex, you're actually producing more hormones that make you want to keep having sex, but they also have all those great benefits, like being able to have better muscle tone and all the things that go along with that, being able to lose weight easier.
Right.
Everyone knows when those hormones go down, those things are harder. So keeping them up, it's a good thing.
You know, I saw this I saw this comic when I was doing the research for my book, Beer Belly Blues, which is about male menopause and really the loss of testosterone. And there was this comic I found of these two older people, you know, 80s, 90s. They're in a doctor's office, and the man is sitting on the doctor's table, and the doctor's writing him a prescription for Viagra, and the woman's in the back with this big sign, no, please don't do it. And, you know, it made me laugh, but at the same time, you know, there really are things like that that go on because people live without sex for so long, you know, usually because of a problem like erectile dysfunction, and men obviously don't want to discuss erectile dysfunction, but there's a very big problem with women after menopause that really don't have the desire to have sex as well, and I was just wondering if you wanted to, you know, discuss any of that.
Yeah, let's talk about that briefly, because the desire to have sex for men versus the desire to have sex for women, it comes from different places. You know, men, it's very much a biological need. And for women, although there are great benefits and we need to do it, it's more of an emotional thing. So we time and time again see women like, oh, yeah, I could take it or leave it. Well, that means that somewhere the need that they need for the love capacity, where they need, we've heard this time and time again, be heard, they need to feel love, they need that unconditional love. It actually, if a man married, I don't care if they're married 50 years, if he continues to court his wife, now that's an old term, but if he continues to want to date her, if he continues to want to make her feel good about herself, she in turn is going to want to have sex. And men can't really wrap their brains around that too much because their need for sex doesn't come from the same place.
Right.
So I think that's a real important thing to touch on. And, you know, that is not to say that a woman shouldn't want to have it biologically. She should. I mean, that gets into the hormones and that gets into, you know, are your vitamin levels up and things like that. And there are some biological causes that can cause women's libido to go down.
Okay, but so let's talk about the younger women for a second. I mean, there's a lot of women that have very irregular periods. They complain about PMS, and obviously if they're complaining about PMS and all of the aches and the pains, they're not in the mood to have sex, or they don't think it's maybe healthy to have sex at that time. But in your book, you discuss how sex can actually work as a painkiller.
Well, it can. And in women that are PMSing before they start their menstrual cycle and they're getting those achy feelings and those bad moods and all that, they found that if those women have regular sex during that premenstrual time, that it's better than taking Tamprin or better than taking all of these things that are on the market for PMS, because it's a natural way to relieve some of that stress, to get rid of the headaches that come along with it and some of the aches and pains. So as counterintuitive as it seems for women to want to have sex when they have PMS, it's actually better for them. It's,
wow.
It's good for them.
Judy, I could, you know, I could just, the visual is right here right now with all these guys listening to the show right now and just clamoring to get their women to listen to the show at the same time. Honey, you got to listen to this. Please come in the room right now, phoning them at work, doing, because this is important information. And it's not just about the act of having more sex. It's about what that healthy sex life can do to our overall health profile. I want you to discuss the importance when it comes to our immunity because, you know, let's face it, when we get a little older, our immune system does decline. We get sicker more often. And yet you've uncovered some research that shows that sex may be able to really help boost our immune system.
Yeah, and I'm going to go over that with you, but Brett, I want to touch on something you just said before we get to that, because I thought this was really interesting that you said that husbands and wives will be, hey, listen to this, because we've had people write to us and say that they had bought the book and highlighted it and given it to their spouse, and this is not the first time we've heard that, where it's one of the the people that's saying, hey, you need to read this, or
sure.
Hey, let's talk about this. So you brought it up, and I just wanted to touch on
And Judy,
that.
Let me just interject there, and then we're going to go to a break and come back, and we could discuss the immunity thing. You know, I think there's a false perception out there that men are the only ones that are, you know, so-called addicted to sex. I mean, when we're young, when we're in our 20s, there's very little else we can think of, because we have a lot of this testosterone floating around, and we've got receptors for testosterone in our brain, and once again, that's where sex starts. But, you know, I have done so many seminars on this type of a topic, and you have no idea, or perhaps you do, where women will pull me aside at the end and tell me these stories that the men in their lives no longer are interested in sex, and these women are beautiful, and they take care of themselves, and I'm talking about women in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and they're really concerned that the men are the ones that are not as interested in sex when they get a little older, and I'm wondering if you've come across this as well.
Oh, we come across that quite a bit. Matter of fact, at Executive Medicine of Texas, where I work out of, we see a lot of men that come in and they say, my wife is interested, but I can't seem to find the energy, or I've lost the interest. So, yeah, there is a big problem, and there are a lot of women that are on the frustrated side of the fence, whereas it used to be you didn't hear that very often. But you're absolutely right. There are a lot of men that have kind of lost that vitality, and we want to be able to capture those men and say, hey, this could be something going on. That's not necessarily normal for you not to want sex. So, you know, that's where we get into testosterone deficiencies and vitamin deficiencies and all those kinds of
things. Yeah, and you discuss that in your book as well, right?
I do.
Okay, we're going to come back with the last segment of Transforming Health. We're talking to health researcher Judy Gammon about the importance of regular, healthy sex. We'll be right back.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com. to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hey, welcome back for the final segment of Transforming Health. When I was actually doing some research for my anti-aging book quite a few years ago, which was BioAge, I came up with some research on an incredible researcher by the name of Dr. David McClelland. He was formerly of Harvard and now at Boston University. And the amazing thing about Dr. McClelland is he set out to unravel some of the health effects of love and intimacy through many, many years of scientific study. And through his research, he discovered that some of the effects can actually be quantified. And Dr. McClellan found that people who pursued relationships without excessive anxiety or without fervor, which he called relaxed desire for affiliation, these people had stronger immune systems. And those who prioritized relationships also suffered from fewer and less several bouts of illness. We're discussing aging today. We're discussing sex, healthy sex. We have health researcher with us, Judy Gammon, and her newest book is Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health. And Judy, before we went out for the break, we did start to talk about the immune-enhancing effects of regular healthy sex, and I was hoping for you to just dive right into this.
Yeah, I want to dive into it, and I have to preface this study that I'm going to tell you about by saying I have a daughter going off to college on the 10th, and, you know, I'm hoping she's not listening to this, the study I'm going to tell you about. You know, Wilkes University in Pennsylvania took a bunch of college students, and they divided them up. They took 112 students. They divided them up into those that were having regular sex and those that were abstinent. And then they did saliva tests, and they found something out that was really interesting. They found out that the people that were having regular protected sex actually had a higher IgA level. So what that means is that they were able to fight off flus and colds and things much easier because IgA is a protein that acts as an antibody.
Right.
And when things go into your body that shouldn't be there, like viruses, IgA helps get rid of them. So what they found with these students is those that were having regular sex were able to fight off some of these things, and which, as you know, is important when you live in, like they do in dorms and such.
And don't sleep and sometimes party?
It's sometimes. Very rarely, right?
Yeah, but you're a mother, so you don't know any of that, and that's okay.
I don't know anything about that.
But Judy, when you're talking about that study, that's interesting because this whole show we've been talking about the importance of monogamous relationships and love attached to sex, but this isn't love sex. This is just having sex for pure enjoyment.
Well, you know, maybe, maybe not. We do not know if the people having regular sex were in relationships. Some college students are.
Right.
But you're right. There are some benefits with protected sex that isn't necessarily monogamous. But I would like to think.
Yeah,
that,
well, in your daughter's case, not that it's going to happen, but if it ever did, obviously there would be love attached to it.
Obviously.
Judy, let's talk about some of the other, you know, serious conditions. I mean, heart disease, there's over 600,000 people in North America alone that die every year from complications. What about heart disease? What about things like cancer? You know, one in three people are going to experience cancer within their lifetime. Can regular sex help with these conditions?
Well, it can. And, you know, as far as cancer, the benefits for that are really kind of targeted toward more towards men, because we do know, they did a study, the National Cancer Institute showed a study that men who have 21 ejaculations a month are 33% less likely to get prostate cancer.
Right.
So that, you know, that's important. Of course, for women, they have to worry about HPV and things if they're outside of a monogamous relationship. But, you know, when it comes to heart, I have to tell you, heart and heart health, I have to tell you something that is really fascinating. I found this fascinating because sometimes we do studies, and we're doing those studies because we have an idea, oh, I want to prove this one way or another. And in England, they decided they were going to do a study to decide if sex, having sex, would put you at a higher risk for having a stroke, because we know that a stroke is caused when blood pressure rises.
Right.
And there's things going on there. But what they found out is that it was just the opposite, that people that were having regular sex actually had better cardiovascular health than those who weren't. And the people who were having sex at least twice a week cut their risk of a fatal heart attack in half.
Oh, incredible.
Isn't that incredible?
It is incredible. And you know, the other thing we have to touch on here just very briefly is that, I mean, a very large reason why a lot of men especially, but also women, you know, may not feel like having sex is if they do have heart disease, they have the, you know, the blocked blood flow. And if the blood isn't flowing healthy in a healthy direction to the genitals, well, obviously they're not going to be able to really enjoy sex. So, you know, that's something that people should get checked out as well, especially if a man is not able to have an erection. It's not always not just enough testosterone. It could be that he's, you know, he has occluded arteries.
Oh, Brad, you're absolutely spot on with that. And, you know, we always say it's so important to have a very good extensive physical exam. And if you are having problems, be sure to discuss those problems with your physician. Because like you said, it may not be something as simple as not being in the mood. There may be something going on.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
Now, we only have a couple of minutes here. What about, you know, you talk about vitamin deficiencies in creating a very low libido or a lack of interest. Can you just touch on these?
Yeah, I'll touch on them briefly. Two of the vitamins that we always check for is B12 deficiencies and also vitamin D. And vitamin D is so important to overall body health, but we have actually found that there's a huge range of deficiencies for vitamin D because we are working in offices. We aren't out in the sun as much as we used to be. And even being out in the sun, not all times of the year can you extract vitamin D from
exactly.
The sun. So we always check for those, and we even tell people, you know, if you're not checked, you should be supplementing vitamin D, and it can't hurt you, but it definitely can help you. And we've found that we've had people that had vitamin D deficiencies, and they've gone on vitamin D, and it's like their life changed.
Yeah. You know, I should send your clinic. We actually have a libido enhancer that is based on science, believe it or not. It's called Ultimate Libido. And we put an ingredient from Malaysia in there, and you may have heard of this. It's called Tongkat Ali, or Uricoma longifolia. And it's been touted as one of the most powerful but natural aphrodisiacs because some of the studies point in the direction that it does possibly help to release more natural free testosterone. So I'd like to send you some information on that. We're completely out of time, Judy, and I want people to be able to get in touch with you or know exactly where they could purchase your book. So can you give us some information on where people can get some more information on the book and on yourself?
Sure. Well, I'd like to have them visit EM, as in executive medicine, emtexas.com. They can buy the book there. They can find out more about what we do at Executive Medicine of Texas there. And if they want to just pick up the book, they should be able to get it at any major bookstores and on online booksellers.
Okay.
Such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Judy, you've been a fantastic guest. You really are. You know, the book is Stay Young, 10 Proven Steps to Ultimate Health. Judy obviously walks her talk. Very excited about having you as being able to interview you today, and I'd love to invite you back for a future episode.
I'd love to be back. There's so much more we could talk about.
Absolutely. Judy, thanks so much. You've been listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King. Go out and have an incredible day, and meet us back here next week. We have a great show for you then as well. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.